It's time to talk about things like high upside and great motors.
I would not take a quarterback there. Probably get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. Apologies for it being 7:04. Swag had a 9-minute update.
Would not shut up over there.
It's good to be with you on this Thursday, coming off the Magic Hat high that we ride every Thursday at 6:30.
Feeling good.
We've told you guys this all week, but we need to keep reminding you because these things tend to go fast.
It already is.
The 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th, presented by your local Toyota dealers and brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and by Philbrook Law Accident & Injury Lawyers.
I think it's really sexy.
Once again, there's going to be the morning and the afternoon rounds. Matt's Barbecue is going to give us all the food, so damn, yes, that brisket. That brisket.
So good.
Foursomes can be purchased right now. Go to 1080van.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, and we'll have more details to come as we get closer and closer to the tournament. I was alerted that a strong percentage of our foursomes have already been sold.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you out there. Again, it's our 11th time doing this tournament out at Langdon Farms, and we can't have this tournament without great listeners. You guys are the best in the market, and so I just want to give you a heads up. Go to 1080van.com, get a foursome. Have a lot of fun.
Boom goes the dynamite.
We'll get to some NFL draft stuff today. Obviously, it is draft day. We'll talk to a Giants reporter coming up at 8:15. And I want to dive back into the NBA playoffs. Should we fear this person in the National Basketball Association?
Who could it be?
I will tell you coming up in the next segment. But in this segment, I want to talk a little Oregon spring football.
I just got rubbing my nipples over here. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Took me with a good time.
Dan Lanning was on with Isaac yesterday to preview spring festivities.
That he was. Saturday at Autzen, 1 o'clock.
It's like disturbing to think about you rubbing your nipples. I just don't want
Farmer
that.
Fran, you don't want that visual
want
in your
that
head
at all.
Just cut off t-shirt, easy access.
And he was asked, you know, look, a lot of people are canceling spring stuff.
Bunch of pansy asses. What's up with that?
How dare they? And he was asked why he feels kind of the opposite. He wants to keep the spring festivities going. Here was Dan Lanning.
Well, I mean, one, I think we have a unique environment here at Oregon where fans want to be a part of it and a chance to see their team. And creating that game day environment for our players, I think, is really important. You know, the best way to get good at football is to play football. And we've had a lot of success with it in the past. And it's an opportunity for our fans to be able to see it firsthand.
I think he's right, and I think he's wrong.
Ooh,
I think
where's Nebraska, he wrong?
Well, Nebraska fans fill their entire stadium.
They do.
Sickos. But,
well, not this year because they didn't have a game.
Right, but I think his
bunch
point,
of pansy asses, Matt Rhule.
I think everything else he cited, correct.
Yeah, it's such a Dan Lanning cliche quote, but it's true. The only way to get better at football is playing football. And there's only so many ways that you can push guys in the spring and in fall camp that will give you an indicator of knowing where they're at the start of the regular season. Because you play well in a spring game, it means nothing for your next year. Because you play bad in your spring game, it means nothing for your next year. But it does give you a data point, at least, to observe, all right, there's a little more juice. You know, Oregon's been having scrimmages, I want to say, 3 weeks in a row on Saturdays. It's usually what they do in spring football. They practice for a week. They have a scrimmage on Saturday, review the film, practice for a week, have a scrimmage. So there's a slow buildup. Anybody who's ever played football will tell you there's a different level of intensity and heartbeat when you're running onto the field, you're wearing the uniform, and there's fans in the stands. And so I know a lot of people look at this and kind of chuckle, and I don't blame them. Like, spring football does not have to be it for everybody. It's almost like in the Northwest, we've become like the Texas A&M bros with their weird, we look like we work at a mental institution outfit. It works for them. It's a big deal now for Oregon fans, and Lanning has built it up. I think fans look forward to it, and it does provide a game day-like atmosphere, not only for the guys on the field to get that a little bit of a taste of it who haven't played in that atmosphere yet, but also for all the big-time recruits who are going to be in town this weekend to show like, hey, man, it's April 20-whatever, 6th, whatever the day is going to be. And look at the crowd that's here. It just means more in Eugene, Oregon, like it does in other places around the country.
Dan Lanning was also asked about Dante Moore, who is set to be the new starting quarterback for your Oregon Ducks. It's a little unusual in that sport, I think, for players nowadays to just be willing to go to a program and sit and wait their turn.
Arch Manning's done it at Texas, but there's not a lot of them.
For that level of recruit, mm-hmm. and Dante Moore was certainly at the top of his class, he transferred from UCLA to Oregon. He was supposed to go to Oregon out of high school. Random last minute flip to UCLA. He was throwing pick sixes, so he got out of that system. He came back to Eugene. And he sat last year and watched Dylan Gabriel. Here was Dan Lanning on Dante Moore being patient.
Well, I think he knew what he was signing up for when he came here. You know, same with Austin and Brock Thomas and KJ and Luke and all the guys in that room. I think they've learned and people have learned, like in college football, there is a benefit to being able to learn on the fly and practice every day with the team and get, you know, involved in the system. And he's one of those guys that have a unique perspective of both, right? He's been thrown in the fire before as a freshman. I think he valued the opportunity to learn and grow as a player, even if it meant that he wasn't necessarily on the field every down.
He also talked about where he thinks Dante Moore has grown the most this offseason.
A guy that always had the ability as far as arm talent, but more the command of our offense is something that, you know, I've been impressed with him as well as our other quarterbacks. You know, they've all done a really good job of picking up, you know, some of the checks, some of the things that we're asking our quarterback to do. I think we're a place that asks the quarterback to do a lot more than some systems, and he's done an unbelievable job of that.
So you'll get a glimpse of what Dante Moore is, at least at this point.
A little bit of a taste in his red jersey.
Exactly.
Or yellow jersey, whatever color they have more.
Well, Malik Murphy last weekend for Oregon State Ball Reports had like a mixed review day. He had some good moments, and then he had some missed throws and missed connections.
That's what spring football's for, man.
And yeah, I don't really like take those and go, well, I'm worried now.
Like,
he's got the rest of the summer and the offseason. Then he gets into fall ball. Like the time to be worried is by like week three if he's not playing well. But I'm curious. I won't watch this because I think spring football's a bit ridiculous, much like you think the NFL draft is. But I will catch the highlights. I will see some of the positive stuff and try to read what some of the reporters say.
Don't worry. I'll break it all down for you on Monday. I'm here for you, Bob. Okay? I got you.
You're right. I don't even need to read
the reporters. You watch rounds 3 through 5 in the NFL draft. I'll watch the Oregon Ducks spring game, and we'll trade off breaking things down on Monday.
Dude, I got a baby shower this weekend.
Oh, that's a tough timing for a baby shower. Yeah. You're going to the baby shower. Guy at the baby shower. It's a very rare thing.
Is it a couple's baby shower, or did you get roped in?
Is it a family member, or is it a friend?
I
got a lot of follow-up questions
here. I can't publicly tell you what
will
I want to
say. Will there be other men at the baby shower?
Okay. There will be. Yeah, I told you, there's a new wave in America.
We need to put the kibosh on this immediately, and we need to stomp this thing out. No, I think in terms of things you're excited to watch, there's a lot of things that I could identify for Oregon spring game. Dante Moore is probably number one. Right? I mean, it's a new quarterback. It's a guy who we've been familiar with name-wise for a long time because of where he was as a recruit and committed to Oregon for so long. Kenny Dillingham leaves, and then at the last second, he's like, nah, you got Bo coming back for another year. I don't know who your offense coordinator is going to be. I'm going to go find a place somewhere else. Wanted to play right away, and then I think dawned on him after playing for a year of like, maybe I didn't need to play right away. Maybe that wasn't the kind of experience that I was looking for. And I do think it's incredibly beneficial to learn behind somebody who could do it at a high level. The interesting note about him, this is going to be Dan Lanning's fourth year. This will be the first time he's had a quarterback and an offensive coordinator together for more than one season in his tenure as head coach. He took over. It was Dillingham and Bo. Dillingham leaves after 1 year. Bo comes back. So then Bo has to learn the new offense with Will Stein. And then Bo's gone. Will Stein comes back. But he's got a new quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. Mm-hmm. And now this year you have a quarterback who has finally been in a system for more than a year. I think he's clearly, as Lanning points out, more comfortable with it now than he was a year ago. And there's a strength that can come with that. It's not a guarantee how he's going to play, but the reports out of practice have been pretty solid, and I'm excited to see what he looks like on Saturday.
Who was the last quarterback Duck fans were excited to get a glimpse of for this festivity? Was it Shuck?
Shuck had some of this, for
sure. Herbert was like
Ty Thompson. I mean, for being honest, it was Ty Thompson.
Well, you guys just continued to lie to yourselves the entire way through Ty Thompson.
It's still real to me, damn it. Still real to me.
It's a tight end now.
Well, you never know. Maybe they call a reverse trick tight end pass, and they're like, dude, this guy's got a cannon. Let's try him a quarterback again. The dream's still alive.
can happen.
Does Tulane have a quarterback? They can't have a quarterback. They lost all their guys. They're trying to get quarterbacks. They need a quarterback.
Don't have a quarterback, and they're keeping him at tight end. So what does that say?
No, I mean, but on the point, though, like when he before he played or got a taste of things,
yeah.
he was such a big recruit that it was like, I think people were very eager to see what he would look
I
like.
I know. And look, I give you crap for this. I don't blame you for it as a fan, but I did feel like by the third year, you were still like, Ty Thompson, and I'm like, he would have been the guy by now if he was the guy.
Give him time, Sprague. He's developing, okay? Some people don't just pop like a popcorn right out of the gate. They need a couple of years.
Is Ty Thompson the Rudy Fernandez of Oregon football?
Ooh, that's disrespectful to Rudy Fernandez.
It is. Yeah, it
that's
is
disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Mario Hezonja. Mario Hezonja. Lottery pick. You know, it's top 10 pick. Guy's got
he
a lot of
potential.
He did
have that one game against the Lakers.
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget
points.
Him dunking fast break yeah. in a preseason game. Like, dude, this guy might actually be pretty good. And I'm like, why am I like this? Don't be that Blazer fan. You're smarter than this.
And yet you're that way as a Duck fan.
Ah, you know, what the hell, right? What the hell?
Should we fear this man in the NBA playoffs? I think we should, and I'll give you audio evidence next on The Fan. The NFL draft is here tonight. And I'm excited to see who picks who. Did the Giants general manager's son give away their secrets?
The secret stuff from the Giants, what are they going to do?
A ridiculous comment. I mean, one of the dumbest comments I've ever read about a prospect coming out of college for the NFL draft and why they might be talking themselves into picking this kid. We'll get to that. And who is the player of the players?
The player of the players.
Who's the player of the players? We'll get to all of that. NFL draft talk coming up. NBA playoffs rolled on yesterday. Kind of was a... bit of a nothing burger day. I mean,
yeah, not a great day.
And the seven seed.
I mean, at least the games were somewhat competitive in Boston and Cleveland. They were at 30-point blowouts at the end of the first half.
Well, eventually Cleveland did make it a blowout.
They eventually pulled away.
And Boston, like, toyed with the Magic, and the Magic were down, like, 7 and 6 at different points.
And but there was no Tatum, so it kind of kept you like, maybe there's something here, but there was not something there.
So it was a bit of a dud of a day for the association, but it was a great night for Major League Baseball and hockey. So we had good sports on. But I wanted to ask if we should be, like, should we be actively terrified of Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics? Yesterday, if you watched that Celtics game, at one point you saw Kristaps Porzingis take a nasty blow to the head, and he had blood flowing all down his forehead and through the back of his head. It was on the floor. He had to be rushed off to wipe it off with a towel, come back, shoot a free throw, then go get stitched up. And then he came back and everybody cheered him on like, you know, he's Willis Reed coming out of the injury tunnel. And Joe Mazzulla, the Celtics get the win. They're up 2-0 against the Magic, and they do it without Tatum. And Brown is awesome. And my brother-in-law's like, hey, would Boston take Scoot and Jeremy in a first for Jalen Brown? I'm like, why?
What?
Why would Boston do that?
They would not do that.
He goes, okay, I'm just being a Blazer diehard.
Just spitballing over here.
And Joe Mazzulla in the postgame was asked about Kristaps Porzingis. And, I mean, just deadpanning tells the media this.
He just has a great way about him. And I think that helps us. And, like, yeah, I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he comes back in and does his job. So I do like that about him.
What's your coach like about you?
That I bleed on the court.
This guy's been in the NBA playoffs for 2 games this year. And in game one, he tells his star player to get up when he's injured and takes a nasty fall and actually ends up having to miss game 2 of the series.
His star was actually hurt.
It actually
get
hurt.
Up!
And the camera pans to Joe Mazzulla on the sideline yelling at him, get up, you bitch, stand up.
Like he's the opposing coach, mad that the other team is wasting his
time. Come on, let's go. We got a game to play here. Tatum, get your ass off the floor. That was game one. And then in game two, he tells one of his other star players, I like when you bleed on the floor. I like when you bleed. I want to make you bleed.
He is a psychopath.
He is one of one. And he has quickly become a guy that if I ever see like a long form interview with, I will seek it out. I want to know what's going on in that guy's brain. He's wired very differently than most people are.
Have you heard his I'm not a coach?
I have heard his I'm not a coach.
I'm not a coach. I'm just here to motivate people and encourage them.
What? Remember last year he watched The Town every day of the playoffs?
He said he watched it every day, yeah.
I saw an interview with him. He was on one of the Barstool podcasts earlier this week. They asked him what movie was. I was like, well, The Accountant 2's coming out, so I'm going to watch The Accountant 2 every day.
Big Affleck guy.
Big Affleck. I mean, he's Boston guys leaning into the roots, right? He's one of one, man.
I had this thought after game one of Houston Golden State. I was watching that game and Ime's getting all pissed off, and I'm like, you know, I know James Johnson wins it every year, so they do this athletic players poll, and one of the questions was, like, player you least want to get in a fight with.
Yeah.
And James Johnson's barely in the league, but he is still in the league, and so he's like a jiu-jitsu master who's also 6'8", 240 pounds. No thank you. I know Steven Adams exists. I think my conclusion was, I don't want to fight Ime Udoka of all the people in the league. Something about Ime strikes me as like Mountain from Game of Thrones. He will cave your head in.
Yeah, there's a very aggressive attitude of him on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Mazzulla both have this kind of, oh, like he tastes your blood and smiles at you.
There's a little
you,
bit of that.
Like, what did you do? What?
Yeah, Mazzulla seems a little more quirky. Udoka just seems like he wants to beat everybody up. He just wants to fight
everybody.
He's just angry.
He's
constantly
begging a player to do it.
Just desperately wants to get into
it. Yeah.
There was a moment, speaking of that, with Mazzulla.
Shout out Jefferson High.
Jefferson High, man. Hey, I was always intimidated to go play there, maybe rightfully so, later in life, seeing what Ime Udoka's like as an NBA head coach. There was a moment, I think it was in Portland, that Mazzulla said he tried to get Jason Tatum to fight him on the sideline. Like, in the middle of a huddle. He was like, I'm just trying to spice things up a little bit. I said, why don't we just fight? Punch me in the face. That's what he was telling one of his star players in the huddle.
He's just built different.
These guys are psycho, man. But whatever it takes to get the most out of your players, whatever it takes to motivate, you got to be creative. Their careers and tenures don't last very long, and he's trying to capitalize on it.
What's going to happen if the Knicks lose tonight?
Panic. Severe, severe panic in the city of New York.
Well, I'm like, if you're running the Knicks...
Oh, the Tibbs's run out as welcome.
Yeah, that's fine. Tibbs might get fired. I won't bat an eye at that. He plays his dudes way too much. I also look at the bench and I say, well, who else would I play if I was coaching that team?
Yeah, part of the problem is you gave up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges.
Well, but like, there's got to be roster stuff that falls out from that. That just can't be a coach problem.
No, I tend to look at teams failing in the playoffs usually as a poorly constructed roster, more so than I do. That's a coaching fault of one guy not making an X's and O's change.
Do they take
that
their
was necessary.
Do they take their own medicine if they go down 2-1, people are not going to feel good about their chances.
No.
I know Sam Morrell yesterday was like, "Well, we could also be up 2-0." Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I watched game 1. You had like a historic run. If that doesn't happen, you lose game 1.
And Kate Cunningham was pretty bad if I remember correctly in game 1. He did not play a good game.
And then he was awesome. He's averaging 26, 6 and 9 in this series. He's been pretty damn good. I don't know what the Knicks answer is here. And then also, because nobody cares about Grizzlies Thunder, on NBA TV tonight, yes, you heard that correctly, NBA TV, Nuggets Clips.
Nuggets Clips, the best series by far of the playoffs so far.
Yes.
Gets relegated to NBA TV.
Jokic is averaging 29, 12, and 10 in the series.
But he's not clutch, though. He doesn't have a clutch gene.
Make a free throw.
Get it done at the end of the game.
Make free throws.
I can't do it, man. Yeah. Can't lead a team to a championship. Oh, wait. Sorry. Never mind.
What outcome changes your view of the entire series tonight, or does it matter?
Pistons. I already think the Clippers are going to win, so if they win, I won't be shocked. And then I told you, I had the exacto bet. If the Nuggets win, it's going exactly how I predicted so far, but I still like the Clippers to win that. The Pistons win tonight, and they are already the young team that had never experienced this. Without that run, they are up 2-0.
They are.
And so if they win tonight, do we still call it the Palace at Auburn Hills?
We do not.
No,
I believe
they're
they have a new arena.
In the Little Caesars.
Little Caesars building.
That's right.
The pizza box.
I really miss saying the Palace at Auburn Hills.
That was a cool stadium name.
It was really badass.
No, like
the Rose
downtown.
Garden. You
yeah,
know?
They're in downtown now. Yeah. You're
it's
right.
Like having a cool name for your arena instead of Moda.
Well, if they win at the Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah. Pizza, pizza.
God, just not intimidating at all.
I mean, I love Little Caesars pizzas, but it's not the same.
The Palace at Auburn Hills.
It's a palace.
If they
the
win
hills.
Tonight, I am going to think they're winning the series, and I couldn't have been more wrong if that is the outcome, because I thought the Pistons would be the young team, the Knicks would be the experienced playoff team that figures it out, grinds them down, and win. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, it would be Detroit winning. The Clipper-Nugget thing, or the Clippers-Nugs, either outcome, I'm still going to feel good about my overall pick.
It'll be fun to watch a game at their new arena, too. See how the Wall of Death impacts a playoff game. That'll be kind of a fun spectacle. I'm glad it's on NBA TV. It's not like the series has been interesting at all.
An affordable section for fans to go to.
What a dumb idea. What kind of idiot would create something like that?
A really in tune owner.
Who's plugged in and
wants very plugged in and
wants passionate. Wants to win and wants their fan base to be happy and enjoy things that go on with the organization. And
although we weren't ranked on the player poll as the worst run organizations, and we got some receiving votes for well run.
Oh, look at us. Look at us. Also receiving votes. You're damn right we were.
Receiving votes, and I think it was like two. So I don't know who voted for us.
Yeah, look, you know how I felt about the Cavs coming in. I know they're up 2-0. They're also playing Miami. They had a big second quarter. That series has not been that compelling.
No.
The Detroit against Cleveland potential is a really fun second round matchup for me. Really, two young teams.
Yes.
Up and coming. I don't know if Detroit's going to do it.
Detroit's got some size to give them fits.
They got a star who can carry them night in and night out. If Cade Cunningham can handle this in the playoffs,
he'd be the best player in that series, wouldn't he?
He's in the mix. He's in the conversation.
I don't know how people separate those two.
And one's younger, one's a little bit more experienced, right? But both very good players who are capable of leading their teams to wins.
Detroit going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals this year?
I don't even know if Detroit's going to get out of the first round.
I'm not going to get quite that, but
to your point about what you learn most about tonight, if they do win tonight at home and they look impressive doing it, I do think that opens people's eyes of like, what else does New York have left in the tank? And if Detroit can win this, all of a sudden confidence is a funny thing, man. Like, you get one of those series win, all of a sudden it's like, hey, why not us? You go into Cleveland, you steal game one, all of a sudden the wheel's turning, so that would be a really fun second-round matchup.
I want to play this quickly. This was Darius Garland in the postgame of the Cavs-Heat game, and now this should make everybody, even though you don't care about this series and I don't blame you, this should make all of us be eyeing to see if there's going to be a fight in game three. Darius Garland was asked, what's your approach on offense?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces. And pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
Just naming players straight up. Go at their awful defenders. Tyler Hero. I cannot wait for the fight in game three.
I think he goes Larry Bird on him and just says, oh, okay, I'm going to go here.
Let's
go. This is what's coming.
Bring it on.
That, actually. Yeah.
Good luck stopping it.
Be more interesting than the series has been, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, a couple more fights would be nice. I'd like that.
God, Thunder
Somebody
Grizzly.
Hauling off and punching somebody in the face.
I bitched all year about the Thunder not being included more on national televised games.
No, you don't want them on national
televised
games.
It's like, you chose the wrong. What are you doing?
Look, I might end up being wrong. I've gambled heavily on them the first two games of the series. I'm doing it again.
Yeah, why would you
not? That line's 9.5. Memphis sucks. Like,
Grizzlies suck.
Dude, yeah. They're going to win that game by double digits.
So you tune into the Knicks Pistons at 4. You then tune out. You maybe tune into the hockey or the baseball.
The NFL draft.
The NFL draft for sure is where most people are going to be watching anyway.
While you're fixing dinner, have the first round on.
And then 7 o'clock, that alarm should go off. You'd be like, Clips Nugs.
Oh, first two games have been outstanding. I can't wait for game three tonight.
All right, we'll get into the NFL draft coming up. We've got a ticker stop at 8:15. Who will the Giants pick at 3? And will they trade back in and take a quarterback at the back end? We'll get to all that. Some draft chatter next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 7:38. Move the daily ticker to 8:15 today. We'll go to New York. What the hell are the Giants going to do tonight? And did the son of the general manager leak their plans on social media last night on the eve of the NFL draft?
So he's got a couple kids. Is this the same kid that told him to take Jaden Daniels?
That's a good question. I don't know.
This kid just breaking down tape and reading it better than his dad?
I mean, the kid ended up being right.
100%.
Would have liked to have him. Not that Malik Nabers sucks, but, you know, look, the chances of getting him at number two are a little steep. I don't know if you could have moved up to that point, but I digress.
It's funny to talk to our boss, Ryan Cooley, who thinks they're not that far removed from being a playoff team again.
Yes.
And Sam Morrell's like, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, the different feelings of the fan base, right? We all go through that as
fans. Two different New York fans.
Something that got lost in the shuffle yesterday that I did want to bring up because it's pretty cool. It doesn't happen very often for not only local guys, but guys from my alma mater. Not a lot of great Oregon Duck players in the history of the NBA, right? Not a lot of all-time, greats. So when you get these little success stories, you want to champion them. Peyton Pritchard was named the sixth man of the year. We didn't talk about it yesterday.
He was. I forgot to bring that up on yesterday's program, so my apologies to the pride of West Lynn.
He was first in points off the bench, first in threes off the bench, first in plus minus off the bench, third in assists off the bench, fifth in total threes, and the most threes off of the bench in a season, and won sixth man of the year.
He became the favorite for that award months ago.
Months ago.
And it never really, like, you had some guys that people would, maybe Malik Beasley, the Ty Jerome, like you had some guys out there, certainly, but the minutes criteria and what he did all season for Boston, I mean, I think it was Barkley that said it, of just how remarkable it is for him to have really worked and shown the work has been put in to be this player. At one point, felt like he was trying to ask out of Boston because he wasn't getting playing time.
Wasn't seeing the floor very often.
He took that back and just dropped 100 points at Park Rose High School during a pro-am and came in, and he's been a different player ever since. So I think, actually, Park Rose is responsible.
I think you can claim this one.
For the entire turnaround. I watched his interview on NBA TV when he got named the award winner, and Wesley Matthews was on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Is he working for NBA TV now?
I think he's doing some stuff. Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but it was kind of a cool little moment where he's like, hey, man, I remember playing for the Blazers, and I used to see you in high school. And he's like, you haven't changed. You've been a great player then, and then he shouted out Wes Lynn. So that was kind of a cool little Northwest moment, but very happy for Peyton. He's kind of defied a lot of the odds. Like, and what I mean by that is, yeah, he was really good and he won a state title as a true freshman in high school. Right? He's part of a great team. But he kept getting better and better. And you'd see him, and he was never like physically the most overwhelming looking player. I remember interviewing him at the LSI.
He's a bit of an undersized guard.
And I'm like a little taller than him. I'm like, how? And
how does this work?
He beat Jahlil Okafor's high school team at Les Schwab, and it made no sense. And then he goes to Oregon, and you're like, he'll probably be a cool little local star. He becomes like a legitimately great college player, and his last year gets screwed over because of COVID. And I didn't really know what to make of him in the NBA. I thought, okay, at best, backup point. I didn't see like sixth man of the year.
No, I don't think anybody did.
Huge scorer off the bench in any given moment. And honestly, capable if it doesn't last with Boston to go sign a contract.
He really worked on his 3 points. He was not a great outside shooter.
He shot 40% from three this year.
Yeah.
Even at Oregon. Now, he made some clutch threes.
That was on seven attempts per game, or almost eight attempts per game.
But
this
last year,
he had some clutch
moments. Yeah, he had some clutch ones. Yeah. He really developed. But early on, both in high school and early in Oregon, he was not a consistently good.
He was a downhill point guard. That was kind of his strength and his athleticism, and he was small and you couldn't really stay in front of him, all that kind of stuff. And he developed his game a ton. I don't think anybody saw this coming. To your point about where he was at, I mean, his rookie year, he averaged 19 minutes a game. His third year, he averaged 13 minutes a game.
That was when he
averaged 8 points per game to 5 points per game. Like, he was regressing, it almost felt like, as a player, and going to wash out of the league. And then last year, he reinvigorated himself. Is that a right word? I think so. Questioning myself today.
Are you okay?
Yeah, you know, we're just letting him fly today. We'll see what works. We'll see what works today. And you get to try and interpretate. And so he goes from that to 9.5 points per game. Yeah. You know, wins a title last year to then this year averaging 14. But you kind of hit on what my next question would be. He did just sign an extension. I'll go look and see how much time's left on that deal.
And he seems like he's happier now.
I mean, why would you not be? You're getting good minutes. You know, there's not a lot of pressure on you.
Playing for a title contender.
Especially now with the new deal. Like, he's making good money, and he doesn't have to be the guy. He signed a 4-year, $30 million contract, I believe it was.
Talk about value for Boston.
This is the first year of the deal. So they got three more years of him. He's going to go about
30 mil.
Over 7.7, and then just over 8 in the last year of the deal.
That's one of the best value contracts given the production you're getting from
a player. But it doesn't go down like Denny Avdia's deal. You know, it's not a Denny Avdia contract. It's a pretty good contract, but not an Avdia one. Could he be the starting point? Like, would you want him as a – would you kick the tires on this if you're another NBA team?
See, I
he's 27 years old.
Yeah, no, look, he is a good player. All right, and he had a great season. I view him more the type of player. The best I can do is just give you an idea or comp. It's not that he's lesser than this player. I view him as kind of an Ant Simons. He is a bucket getter who is definitely capable of getting in there and distributing the basketball. But man, he's a good scorer for them.
Especially when he gets hot. You get in one of those stretches where you're like, damn, dude, they can't miss.
So he's a little bit of a combo guard, but I'm also not going to dismiss the idea that if he was in a different system, he could morph back into a generate the offense in different ways type of player. That's his entire career has been nothing but proving everybody wrong about what kind of player he's been. And the underrated part of this is signing that extension. He secured some money for himself, so he's good. He'll get a bigger contract on the next one. He is winning.
He's winning.
All right. Now, what did he do in high school?
One.
What did he do in college?
For the most part, one. Went to a Final Four, and they would have had a gun on a great run his last year.
He might not be asking out of Boston for a while. He wants to win. He's a winner. He is not somebody. Now, if he gets a $100 million deal in a bad situation, he might talk himself into it, one, for the money, but two, I win. So wherever I go, we win.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's a good team, but he's a winner. He wants to win. I don't know if he can run a team, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see where this all goes because the deal just kicked in. To your point, I'd be pretty thrilled if I were him. You're coming off the bench. You don't have the focal point of the defense's attention every single night. And so you're just kind of out there. You're scoring. You're helping the team out. There's not a lot of pressure on United and night out to perform. It's a good spot to be in. And you're making north of $7 million a year playing in Boston for the Celtics. That's a good life, man. But a really cool story for a local kid who's carved out a niche for himself at the next level where at times you maybe weren't sure what exactly that was going to look like. We missed that in the notes yesterday. He was named the sixth man of the year in the NBA, averaging over 14 points per game, man.
He is 6'1".
6'1". It's remarkable. Let's start diving into the NFL draft. We got all sorts of news and notes on it. It is tonight. It begins, or at least round one is tonight. What happened in New York? We'll go there for the Daily Ticker coming up at 8:15. Start diving into the draft next on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. A lot of draft stuff to get into. Before we do that, I did see this yesterday. It doesn't relate to everybody, but boy, oh boy, does it relate to me, and did I get excited when I saw this news. And I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Did you see what YouTube TV announced yesterday, what they're going to allow you to do?
I saw that because a listener tagged us in it.
Oh, did they tag us in it? Yeah, they're going to let you cook up your own quad box.
Yeah, you can
or
watch
your dual screen.
The Office on Comedy Central, and you can watch the game.
That's perfect.
Which is great. I mean, that's how it's always. I was getting this during the tournament. I was watching the quad box, and whatever the last game on like True TV would be
turn into like Impractical Jokers or something.
And so I'm like, well, if I can do this just naturally with the way it goes, why can't I do this anytime?
Yeah, so if you have YouTube TV, if you know that you weren't allowed to build your own quad boxes or multi-views, just they would basically pre-select them for you. Here's, you know, options of games and that kind
you
of stuff.
You could find out the different options because they wouldn't give you them all up front, but you try to build it and then be like, oh, okay, I can't build that one.
Certain limitations and restrictions on it. Now they're basically saying they're going to give you the option just to pick whatever the hell you want to watch. You want to watch the news, the Weather Channel, Monday Night Football, and whatever else, like you can do it. So that was very exciting for me to see yesterday. We are here, boys. We have made it to NFL draft day.
We have kicked this can until 7:52, and it's very disappointing it's taken this long, but we're here.
Congratulations. You know what I was
it's
thinking
a great
about
day.
It's a great day. I was thinking about I was thinking about a month ago.
God, you're such a poo-pooer.
It's just that, to me, it's just the build-up's too long. Like, it's just, it's such a long runway to get here that I'm just so ready for it to happen.
You have a date. You can't just change the date because the build-up's too long. That's the point of the draft.
I remember, like, a month and a half ago doing some show prep one day and being like, hey, you know, draft's around the corner. Let's see if anything's out there on the draft. And so I'm listening to different stuff, reading different stuff. Like, let's throw a draft nugget in there. And I remember doing a segment, I think it was about a month ago, and I listened to Adam Schefter's podcast, one of the more plugged-in insiders in the league. I think we could all acknowledge. And he was doing a pod. I think he does it with one of the McAfee bros. And one of the guys asked him, hey, Adam, what is the thing you're most confident happening in the first round of the NFL draft?
Whoopsie-daisy.
And my little antennas went up because I'm like, ah, this is a good bit for the. We'll do this. It'll be a good, nice little segment. Let's see what his answer is.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled the audio. We did 15 minutes of radio on
we
it.
Did.
It was a month ago. Was Adam Schefter, the number one insider in the NFL. What's the thing you're most confident happening in the NFL draft?
Yeah.
And that was that the Cleveland Browns with the number two overall pick would select a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we did a segment on it. Like, ah, it's interesting. Deshaun Watson's clearly done.
Right.
What quarterback are they going to take? How's that going to work in Cleveland? Does anybody think the Browns are going to take a quarterback tonight?
Not a soul. They they got Joe Flacco, and they traded for Kenny Pickett.
And they might still somehow be in the market for Kirk Cousins, if you believe what Diana Rossini's reporting, although George Kittle said fake news to her yesterday about why he's not at camp. That's the only thing. I am genuinely excited for the draft to begin tonight to see how it all unwinds. The buildup is too long.
I think you're
it's too
excited
long
for
of a runway.
I think you're excited for the draft to be over.
No, it's not over. Like, the first round to me is genuinely fun to watch. I won't watch anything after that. I'll just check in at the end of the weekend and see where the local guys go.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be plugged in all weekend. I will sit down and watch the entire, well, not the entire, but the vast majority of the first round.
I mean, there's a couple teams that you know they're probably taking, like, an offensive lineman. So it's like,
Fast forward to the next
one. We know that's a valuable position. It's just not fun to talk about.
It's not sexy. You need it, but it's like eating vegetables. It's not, it's not fun to do.
Largely, they're bad interviews. They're, I go block ball.
Okay, I'm hungry.
Kind of offensive to offensive linemen. Very
I
smart
offensive
individuals.
Linemen were the smartest ones
on
the field.
You got to know your calls. You got to know your checks. You got to know where the mic is at all times.
Did I say they're stupid?
Yes, you inferred it.
They're huge people.
You inferred it.
They're going to talk like this. I'm hungry. I block.
What? They're Jason Sukanics of that position are very rare. Jason Kelce. Like, you got Sukanic at Kelce. Got a lot of others? You want to name the offensive lineman you love here talk?
Whitworth's pretty good on TV.
Whitworth, okay.
Give you that one.
There's three.
One of the Taylor Lewan's pretty good with the Bustin' with the Boys podcast.
All right. Yeah, all right. Four. There's four. Yeah, good job.
Can we keep going?
All right. Well.
Kelce?
I already named him.
Okay.
Can't double dip that
the
chip.
The Longs?
I'm going to double dip that. Ooh, the Longs are good. The Longs are
one
all
of the most popular Long is a defensive player.
I don't know about
Anyways,
that.
Anyways,
I don't know
my
about
point
that.
Stands. Don't you dare say
I think
that
you
I'm
just
calling
offensive
stupid.
Lineman stupid.
They're big
I think
people.
Did.
They talk like this. I'm giant. I'm 6'5". I'm 340 pounds.
Could have said Jeff Saturday.
See, this is Jeff Saturday's a good point.
So I'm just like,
remember when he was the head coach of the Colts?
The Giants, obviously. So Schefter's new prediction. Have you seen Schefter's new prediction?
Ooh, what's the new prediction? What's he got?
So he talked with Rich Eisen. Eisen basically was like, he said basically the same question. Like,
same
what
question a month
in?
Later, day of the draft. What are you confident in?
He asked him where he thinks Shador's going to go. Because he was talking about Dion going back to Texas, and Shador's probably going to be at home at Texas today. And he wouldn't say it until Rich Eisen said the team. He is all in that Shador's going to Pittsburgh. Interview, by all accounts, went really well. His visit with the team. And Pittsburgh's kind of one of these teams that, like, the last time they did this, it did not go well, especially when it was in this range.
Yeah.
And it was Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
And so Shador is not Kenny Pickett, though Matt Rhule is telling you Shador's very good. I find an interesting guy that played him, whooped his ass, is like, yo, really good player here.
A lot of the coaches and players who went against him and played with him are saying very similar things, unlike an anonymous NFL assistant coach.
Yeah, so like the whole Shador stuff, I'm just interested. I am. It's gotten me
Joe Thomas is a good one.
What?
Joe Thomas.
Mark Schlereth.
Yeah. You guys got six. Good job. Way to go. I gave you one of them, so you're getting five.
I think you're interpreting this wrong.
All right. How many linemen exist in one game? And now multiply that by 32. Now multiply that by 30. And you tell me how many linemen in the last 30 years you've known that have been great. Okay?
I'm just sticking up for Will Ortner's honor here, okay?
Did he play in the NFL?
How dare you? How dare you?
Dan Dierdorf. Another good one.
Just keep going. Let's keep going on and on and on.
All right. What do you want me to do? You want to change the voice?
I think it was the tone of the voice that you did. Yeah.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to professionally block because this scheme says I need to do this, this, and this.
That's a little bit better. I like that. That's better.
So it talks more like Clark Kent?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. A little bit of a Superman.
I'm sorry. You still haven't given me your Kuiper. At least I do voices.
Yeah,
at least
you did
I try
say,
to do voices.
You did say you were going to cook up a Kuiper,
hot boy.
You said
you were going to cook up a Kuiper today.
Yeah, he's
where's your pumpkin pie, bitch?
He's worried about Drew Jones playing defense today in center field. That's what he's worried about.
You're a baseball announcer, and you won't give me old-timey baseball. Hey, we're out at the Hillsboro Hops game today. Drew Jones up to bat. He is red hot. He's two of his last four.
I won't give you any of that.
You won't even give me one.
Riggins.
You're just judging my voice ability. Yeah. You won't even give me a voice.
Don't you interpretate what I'm trying to say over here, all right? You pipe down. Well, the NFL draft is today. Can you tell we're excited?
I got more nuggets.
You got more nuggets? We'll get to your nuggies. What else does Sprague have in his
There's
nuggies?
A ridiculous claim by an NFL personnel person about a certain quarterback that's probably going to go in the second round based solely on, like, what if? And I need to talk about this.
Okay.
Because it's a stupid claim. I have eyeballs.
Jeff Schwartz. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Works medium.
I've already acknowledged I'm wrong here. Stop texting in more offensive linemen.
I think people can keep texting in the names. If you want 503-864-6326, that is the fan text line. We'll treat you right before, during, and
Ross
after
Tucker?
The sale. Ross Tucker's a really good friend of the program, Ross Tucker.
I mean, look, I'm already railroading my own opinion.
Now you're backing over. Now you're beating your own ass.
I am.
That's what you're doing over there.
Do you mind? At least I'm doing a voice. Again, this should be highlighted at Swigard, who refuses to give
Brian
us...
Was Brian Baldinger an offensive line?
It was. Brian Baldinger, a good friend of the program, too. Yeah, very good friend of the show.
Okay, what do you want? Yeah, this is what I think of Brandon Sprague's offensive lineman take.
Fuck two and spit on that.
All right, there we go. I spit all over myself.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Why don't you ever play the game?
You got to play the game.
You don't play the game.
Play the game. We'll go to New York coming up at 8:15 for the Daily Ticker. Sprague's got more draft nuggies. I can't wait to hear what they are. Did the Giants' son reveal what they're going to do in the first round?
Do you just have no draft stuff?
I got draft stuff.
What are your thoughts?
I got my draft stuff.
I feel like you just want this to be over.
This guy's pretty good. I think this guy's going to suck.
Got a day three grade.
I think this guy's going to go in the top 10. I think his value's pretty good at 22. Watch
How's it
going to
look aesthetically, though, at Lambeau?
It's going to be pretty badass. I'm excited for that. Lots of draft stuff. Final hour next on The Fam.